This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid to take a stand,
Live off the record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas Customs, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So happy you can join us. If you want to give us a call today here on 96.9 FM, the numbers are 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So let me just give you a little lay of the land today. I'm going to speak for a few minutes with someone from the Government and Public Policy Institute, Janie Gibson, about a very historic and important event coming soon. And then we are going to go on the expenditure side of the budget, having looked at some matters around the revenue side of the budget yesterday. Welcome, Madam Gibson. Welcome to Z Live.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me, Mr. Lai.
You know, it's our pleasure. So you have a bit of a historic something coming up through the GPPI. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. I'm excited to announce that the Government and Public Policy Institute, we will be starting our 50th Independence Distinguished Lecture Series on June 13th. That's next week, Tuesday, June 13th. And our first presenter, I'm proud to announce, and I should say the university is very excited and proud and honored to announce that His Excellency, the Most Honorable Sir Cornelius A. Smith, will take the stage as our presenter, marking the first time that a sitting Governor General will deliver a lecture here at the University of the Bahamas. And so we are proud that His Excellency has agreed to present at this historic event, which aligns with the celebrations of our nation's 50th year independence. And His Excellency will be speaking, or I should say presenting, on the theme Empowerment, Education, and Excellence, 50 years into our independence. It will take place here at the University of the Bahamas, Oaksfield campus, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And why this is so important, Shivago, may I add, is that most persons might know that Sir Cornelius is our 11th Governor General, but many persons out there might not be aware that he has enjoyed distinguished careers in both the public and private sectors with notable achievements in each. He served at crucial portfolios in the government, such as education, public safety and immigration, tourism, transport, and local government. He's also had a career in the diplomatic contribution, in the Bahamas, and they serve very well in those areas. So we are honored that we will consider His Excellency nation builder. And it's so important that we not only hear from nation builders in our country, but we celebrate them. Too often we believe that persons might not have contributions to make or be able to deliver, but his wealth of knowledge and his reflection, as we celebrate 50, is very important. And as we move forward, we want the generation to understand that what we have here in this country today, Shivago, it didn't happen overnight. It took persons like Sir Cornelius to participate, and that's what is important. So when persons come and actually participate and come and attend this lecture, they'll actually have an evening. It's an evening will be filled of reflection and discussion, we believe, on matters that impact national development. So I encourage persons out there who are listening that if you're interested in attending, it is not to RSVP here at the University of the Bahamas, that is GPPI, to participate and just come, and we encourage you to listen and you become a part of the progress that you wish to see.
How do they RSVP?
They can RSVP by emailing us at GPPI. That's gppi@ub.edu.bs. Or they can telephone us at 677-3203. Okay. But we encourage them, if it's easier for them to do, they can actually email us. I give the email address again. That's gppi@ub.edu.bs. Or they can actually, if not, they can reach out to you. They can WhatsApp you and you can provide us information.
Sure. What is interesting about the lecture by the Governor General is that he has sat on the front lines of so many of the historic developments of the country. So the extent to which we have gain more power or lost powers in terms of empowerment, the extent to which we have evolved in education, having been an educator himself, having been the Minister of Education himself, the extent to which he can speak to the extent of our pursuit of and achievement of excellence in any particular area, means that we are looking at someone who has very real experiential knowledge of our development and is looking and is able to sitting as the representative of the head of state of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
So again, we are asking people to RSVP. This is next week, Tuesday, beginning at 6:30, right? PM.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct.
And at the Harry Seymour Library there at the university is where the event is slated to be held.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, 50 years of independence, and the University of the Bahamas gets to say for the very first time, a sitting Governor General will deliver a distinguished lecture on the theme Empowerment, Education, and Excellence, 50 years into our independence. Wow. I'm looking forward to that.
I just encourage persons, like I said, it's an evening of reflection and discussion. Be a part of the progress you wish to see.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate us know, and maybe you come back sooner, closer to the event, and just let us know again, just as a reminder.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. We're celebrating 50 years of independence, and we are going to do, amongst other things, hear from our Governor General as he reflects on that 50 years in the context of our empowerment, education, and excellence. All right. To see live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into the expenditure component of the budget. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together.
charge, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought Walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny. The Bahamas game's coming July 7th to July 15th, and Grand Bahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Fight. I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. When we prepare a budget, we are preparing a plan. That's really what it is. It's a financial plan. A financial plan for a given period. In the instance of the government of the Bahamas, the period of time is 12 months. 12 months from July 1 of 1 year to June 30th of another year. So it is a plan. What is a plan? A plan is a roadmap to how you expect to arrive at a given point. Right? What's an architectural plan? Well, it's the plan, it's the roadmap to how you're going to build and to build a building, build some structure. And so the idea behind a budget is I'm trying to accomplish something. And as I try to accomplish that something, I'm going to direct my financial resources toward accomplishing what I have determined I wanted to accomplish. And so generally speaking, if somebody presents you with a budget, you have to ask them or they will tell you what they are seeking to accomplish. This is what you might get and should get in the budget communication. What is it that I am seeking to accomplish. And then you look at how they allocate their resources in line with what it is they are seeking to accomplish. Now, very often when this, or often when this happens, you can say, okay, well, if someone says I'm trying to accomplish debt reduction, if I'm trying to accomplish more education for my family or somebody, you would look at where the resources are directed in line with that. So you might expect to see more spending in areas that reflect education. You might see monies expended toward reducing indebtedness or that kind of thing, because it would be in line with your stated objectives, right? So the Prime Minister, in providing the budget communication, said this. So this is the heading of the budget communication: a budget for security and progress. Right? A budget for security and progress. So we can look then at what is done in those areas. I was looking to see a specific statement of objectives or aim in the budget, but I guess the clearest you will come to is what we get in the title, which says it is a budget for it's a budget for national security and progress. Okay, so then I want to remind you that before the Prime Minister and his colleagues, the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance and his colleagues began this year's budget, essentially 80%+ of that budget was already obligated, committed in salaries unless the government was going to fire people, committed in rents unless the government was going to terminate rent, committed in leases unless the government was going to terminate leases, committed in terms of utility expenses and all these kinds of things. 85% commitments to Bahamas Air subvention, commitments to Water Sewage Corporation subvention, commitments to subventions all across. So 80%+. So really, the Prime Minister was looking at the discretion that they may have, maybe 15% of the budget. In any event, let's look at where the overspending on the budget fell. Where did the overall spending fall? And I'm reading right from the budget draft estimates of revenue expenditure, May 2023, okay? The largest component of the distribution of the upcoming budget is in wages and salaries. Do you want to know how much your government pays in wages and salaries, or how much your government is planning or has planned for or budgeted for spending on wages and a salary for the next fiscal year, let me give you the sum of money that will be paid to the 20 plus 1,000 civil servants and contracted workers and consultants of the government. The government plans to spend $742,477,955 on wages and salaries. That's what it estimates it will spend. That represents the largest single share of expenditure in the budget, which is 24.1%. Almost one quarter of your budget will be spent on wages and salaries. That amounts to a monthly expenditure of $62 million. Every month, the government of the Bahamas must pay out about $62 million. That's the wages. And then you add to that allowances. So they are attached to some workers' allowances because of the work they do. And that's an additional $79,312,370, or 2.6% of the budget. So added together, wages, salaries, and allowances amount to 26.7% of the budget. Okay? So what's the next largest sum the government of the Bahamas is going to spend? The next largest sum is interest payments. Interest payments. So the government of the Bahamas will spend estimates it will spend $712,726,086 in the next fiscal budget. Again, $612,726,086. That is almost the salary bill of the government, wages and salaries. And that amounts to 19.9, basically 20% of the budget, 20%. So on a monthly basis, the government has to find in interest payments, $51 million. In wages, $62 million. Following that, the government has to pay out or plans to pay out $408,097,757 in what it calls subsidies. Right? Subsidies. And that amounts to 13.2% of the budget. And then the government has social benefits. Social benefits, you would have read in the Guardian, where social benefits are up, notwithstanding the Department of Social Services and those are down. Ministry of Social Services are down. The government says it will spend $538,035 on social benefits. 7.7% of the budget, $236,538,035. Now, this is called social benefits. Now, this is a direct This is the direct assessment of the government as to the money they spend in social benefits. Yet, someone called the show yesterday and said, we don't get nothing. Nothing. Other people have said that. We don't get nothing. When we can get something? The government says, I'm going to pay out next year $236,538,035. And last year, they paid out about $222 million. But they say we don't get nothing. This is, remember now, this isn't about wages. This isn't about rent. This isn't about any of those things. This is about what the government defines as social benefits. You say, well, what are they? Yeah, you'll have to ask the government. That's spread throughout the budget, so you have to ask the government what they mean by social benefits. And then, of course, there's rent, $97 million, and so forth and so forth and so forth. So, again, I'm not a genius. I'm reading from the government's document. So you can get this online yourself. And you can see what the government plans to do in the broad in terms of spending. Grants, the government says it's going to pay out $9.5 million in grants. All right, we're going to take another break. Pay our respects to our wonderful sponsors, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll be back.
Make your morning sizzle with breakfast from Nassau. Enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75, including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with Burger King's savory sizzling sausage and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. So say hello to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75, including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So the government, if you wanted to know what the government plans to do in terms of some of these areas. Let's see something here. Travel and subsistence. Travel and subsistence, the government plans, that's for travel inside the Bahamas and outside the Bahamas, The government plans to spend $12,292,694. Okay? So if you some people say, well, why they don't tell us how much they're spending on travel? Well, they tell you how much they spend on travel. They plan to spend $12,292,000. That's what the government does. And so that's clear, right? And in each line item, you can see the number of dollars that the government plans to spend. All right. So there is an area also I didn't mention called services where the government is going to spend. Called services, the government is going to spend $273 million. $273 million. What does that constitute? Services includes printing and duplication, workshops, conferences, seminars, meetings and exhibits, licensing and fees and other charges, something, staff engagement, building maintenance, ground maintenance, implements and tools. See, I'm reading the budget that you all say the government don't give you details for sometimes. Operations and facilities and other services. It includes minor capital repairs such as transportation equipment upkeep. It includes special financial transactions such as VAT expenses and so forth. Well, these kinds of things, right? Okay. So what I did for you was I went over. It text, I must check the travel number again. I think that is only Prime Minister Davis' travel budget. No, that's the overall. That's the overall budget. So what I did is I looked at all of the heads to see what the movements, up or down, increase or decrease, were in each of the heads. So let me tell you what all heads, what all areas of government will get an increase. Not when I say increase, that don't mean there's any big increase, as you'll be able to see, but it got an increase. So the Governor General's office got an increase. The Senate got an increase. The Auditor General's office got an increase. The Office of the Judiciary got an increase. The Department of Corrections got an increase. The Parliamentary Registration Department got an increase. The Local Government Department got an increase. The Department of Physical Planning got an increase. The Ministry of Finance got an increase. The Department of Immigration got an increase. The Royal Bahamas Police Force got an increase. The Royal Bahamas Defense Force got an increase. Ministry of Education got an increase. The Ministry of Social Services got an increase. The Department of Housing got an increase. The Department of Labor got an increase. The Port Department got an increase. Public debt servicing increased. The Ministry of my handwriting so bad. I got to go check what my own handwriting is saying. That's 67. The Ministry of Tourism got an increase. The Ministry of Labor got an increase. And then the Office of Public Prosecution got an increase. Now, remember I said they got an increase, but some of them, the increase is marginal, right? So you might ask me, who got the biggest increase? Anybody want to know who got the biggest increase? Remember, a budget can speak to your priorities. You can get a sense of priorities by where you put your money, where you increase and what have you. So who got the largest increase in the expenditure in this budget? Anybody could guess? Somebody want to tell me before I give you the answer? Who got the largest increase in this budget? I asked you all where the largest expenditures made last time. Where do you think the largest increase is in this year's budget upcoming? Where do you think that is? Anybody? I'm going to give you a little chance to think about it because, you know, folks, we got to have regard to our wonderful sponsors who make it happen, who continuously support these shows so that you can hear our voices and discuss with us the things that we discuss. And so while we hear from our sponsors once again, I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a chance to answer who you think got the largest increase this year. So ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Willa.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Your morning sizzle with breakfast from Burger King Nassau. Enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75 including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with Burger King's savory sizzling sausage and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. Oh, to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75 including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Gulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Nobody answered me. Nobody tell me what they thought was the area where the biggest rise in expenditure was going to take place. So I'll give it to you. The number one area in which the biggest rise in expenditure is going to take place is public debt servicing. Public debt servicing will go from it's going to rise to $635 million in the upcoming budget. And that's about $45 million increase. That's the single largest increase that will be had in the budget. Okay? So that's about from million to $580 million to $635 million. So public debt servicing, our debt servicing obligations are continuing to rise and will rise by $45 million next year. What's the second largest increase to be given? It's in the Ministry of Finance. The Ministry of Finance will get an increase of $37 million in the upcoming budget year, more than it gets this fiscal year. That's the Ministry of Finance. So Ministry of Finance is head 21, and that's been for a very long time. So let's see if we could figure out what in the Ministry of Finance is going up so that they get an additional $37 million. All right, so let's see if we could figure it out here. Well, salaries in the Ministry of Finance, personally, emoluments in the Ministry of Finance is going up. Oh. There is, in the Ministry of Finance, $20 million being allocated for a salary adjustment. $20 million. Public service must be getting an increase, eh? $20 million of the $37 million is salary adjustment. And then there is an increase of about $10.6 million for global provision, new appointments, monthly employees. So between global provision, new appointments, monthly employees, and salary adjustments, the government, the Ministry of Finance gets some $31 million in increase. Employee pension contributions, that's going to go up by $10 million. All right? So some things are happening around employees, appointments, and that kind of thing to explain these increases in the budget. Now, in case you wanted to know what's going to happen for the summer program, this is when they say global, the government means across the government, right? And what's going to happen with summer program? Summer program allocation for the upcoming fiscal year will be $2.5 million. That's about $29,000 more than was allocated for this year, this summer. Okay, so there's $2.47 million allocated for some employment. So if your young people are looking to get employed in the summer, the government has about $2.4 million for that in this summer budget, and then $2.5 million in the next one. And the government has $2.5 million for the next year. And so that ain't never going up. So there's no plan to increase some employment. That's amazing. Honestly, I'm telling you, that's amazing. That's amazing. Okay. I would have thought, listen, man, seriously, in this environment, man, let's hire up them young people, man. Let's hire them young people. I would hire them. I don't care what y'all say. I spent $10 million, $5 million. I'd hire them up. It was me. Now, to be honest, even when Ingram was there, I think we increased some employment for sure, but, you know, we still, I think, could have done better with some employment. So, me, them, everybody, for being stingy with some employment. All right, so that's the second, it's the Ministry of Finance. What's the third highest increase being given in this budget? So we got finance is third, is second, and then the third. There's a tie for third. There's the Ministry of Tourism is getting $3 million more. The Ministry of Department of Local Government is getting $3 million more. And then thereafter, a couple of departments are getting $2 million. So anybody getting more than $3 million after those big guys like the debt servicing, the Ministry of Finance. Right? After that, everybody else getting $4 million or less in increases. So there are 75 heads and all the other heads. All the other heads, so 55 heads are getting decreases. 20 heads are being increased. About 55 heads are being decreased. Who's getting the largest decrease in this upcoming fiscal year? It's the public service. It's getting the largest decrease. And then the Department of Public Works and Utilities, again, an $8 million decrease. The public service getting a $13 million decrease. Well, then let me fix something. 55 department areas are getting either a decrease or remaining the same, a decrease. So when you look at the numbers, the movement of the numbers, when you look at the movement of the numbers and if you dive into them, there is really no story, no narrative that comes out of those movements. No narrative in terms of this is our priority, this is our focus. Because when you look at the big numbers and where those numbers are being applied, the biggest story seems to be in terms of what is happening on the employee side, the employment side of things of the public service and debt servicing. That seems to be the biggest story. But there's no narrative that says, well, we're really focused on putting some more money in education. We're really focused on putting some more money in health. We're really focused on putting some more money in national security. Because national security is actually down $1 million. If you look at climate change and the environment and you look at the budget, there is no stories to those areas. In fact, there are decreases to those areas. If you look at the Department of Meteorology, it's down, not by any big amount, maybe $500,000 or thereabouts, but it's down nonetheless. And so the numbers are supposed to, at least in a budget, you try to get a sense of priorities. You try to get a sense of focus. Or you could argue, maybe the government has determined, listen, we have given the priorities the kind of monies that they need, and they may not even demonstrate the capacity to spend all that money. That is true. That could happen. But what is clear is in the movements from this year to the next, there's no clear narrative that comes out. No clear narrative at all. And that would not be surprising because in the budget communication, outside of revenue collection and the aggressiveness with revenue collection, there was no clear narrative the prime minister gave in terms of expenditure. You know, there was none. Could be really discerned in that way. And so maybe we have arrived at a place where our budget is reflecting our capacity for now. Capacity in two ways. It's reflecting a capacity in terms of there isn't really much more we can do in the way of spending. And you see that because overall the budget expenditure is increasing by about less than $10 million. And then maybe capacity in terms of, listen, there isn't even really flexibility to move things in and up, in and around in this budget because, you know, people have what they have, they need what they have, and we're really done. And this is an interesting place in the country to be. Notwithstanding, there is a proposed $500 million plus increase in revenue, and a serious, significantly reduced marginal increase in expenditure to provide for some serious gains in the deficit for the country. So maybe that's the biggest narrative that Our deficit spending is headed in the right direction, going from $500+ million to about $130-something million. And that's the message. Now, that's predicated on the government actually collecting that additional $500 million that it says it's going to collect. If the government does not do that, it cannot meet that target. And so there's the expenditure picture. You can get details in each ministry, each department, if you want. It's right there in the book for you to do. All right, we're going to take a break for news, ladies and gentlemen. So glad that you could join us. We'll be back after the news break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Rolang, your host.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Rolang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me at 439-3043. You know, I'm going to do something for you today that I hope is going to help you, but would be much better in an environment in which I could actually show you what I'm doing. Because what I want to do is, I really want to teach you how to read the budget. I really do. It will be a marvelous piece of knowledge for you. I'm telling you, folks. A many of your questions, you will be able to answer, and some questions you'll be able to raise that probably isn't as comfortable for those who have to answer the questions as they would like. But I am going to, I'm thinking about this, and I promise you, I'm going to set up a Zoom class. And I'm going to take anyone who's interested, I'm going to take you through the budget visually. Okay, if you think that's something you would be prepared to do, just send me something and say yes. As if I don't hear from you too much of you, I won't waste my time. But seriously, I'll walk you through the estimates. I'll do it from revenue to expenditure. Because I'm going to do something for you right now that I hope will help. Okay, so when you read the budget expenditure section, you'll get a broad chart of where expenditure is distributed. You'll get a table of how the expenditure is distributed, just as I read for you, the $700 million for wages and salaries at 24%, XXX. You'll get that. Then you will get a summary table of expenditure for each head. A head is a ministry or department. Head one is the Governor General's office. Head two is the Senate. Head three is the House of Assembly, so forth and so forth and so forth. Then you'll get those from 3 years or 2 years prior. So you'll get what the current situation is suggested to be. You'll get what the upcoming forecast is suggested to be. And you'll get 2 years after that, next fiscal year. So in all, you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about six columns of history, current and future estimates of revenue and expenditure, right? So So you get those summary tables. Then you go head to head, meaning the budget then breaks down the details of allocations for each head. So for the GG, for the Governor General's office, for Senate, for the House of Assembly, for Prime Minister's office. So I'm going to use the office of the Prime Minister as the thing we're going to look at, the head we're going to look at. And the office of the Prime Minister's head is head 14. That's the number. This titling is useful because in the Parliament, remember, this is a document prepared for the Parliament. In the Parliament, when it is time to approve the budget has to be approved, has to be head by head, line item by line item. That's how the budget has to be approved, right? So you don't go in there and say, let's approve the budget, take a vote. No. I mean, the government can do that. The government can say, Mr. Chairman, I want to move that the budget be approved from head one to head 75, and they get a seconder, and then the chairman could ask for as many as in favor, and then you can't get an approval if somebody from the opposition will very likely stand up and say, no, I have questions regarding heads 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and they could go all the way to 75, so you can't do nothing until that happens. I mean, you could strong arm the situation, I imagine, and you know, but it wouldn't look good. People think you're hiding something. So there's normally a head by head. So the office of the Prime Minister's head is head 14. Now, each head is broken down into main categories of personal emoluments, okay, use of goods and services, okay, use of goods and services, and then minor capital works, capital repairs, right? Then operational expenses, and then special financial transactions. And then they have this category, transactions, NEC. I tried to find out what that means, but I don't know. I'm still trying to find. So let me tell you. So when you're reading these heads, let me tell you something. Or to save time, if you understand the budget, you are really looking for the areas in which the government has discretion. Okay? You don't want to waste your time where the government really don't have discretion. Right? So as you go through, you're looking for the areas where the government has discretion. So if you have a pen and a piece of paper, you could write these areas where the government has discretion. Where things can move and you're going to go, what? Why are you doing that? So if you have a pen and a piece of paper, let me give it to you. So the areas would be under personal emoluments, salary permanent / pensionable, salary contract workers. Why? Because that's where the hiring takes place. If you're increasing the salary, if you're increasing contract workers allocation, you must be doing some either new hirings or you're doing some increases in pay. Okay? And so you look at those areas. Allowances, there's not a lot of stories to be told there. Depending on the head, you can look in travel, right? You can look in travel. You can look, and sometimes we only look at international travel, but you can look at domestic travel too, because as you move closer to elections, local government or national elections, domestic travel could increase as well. Why? Because it can give cabinet ministers an opportunity in the context of their own responsibilities as ministers to make travel to different islands in the Bahamas, while at the same time, in the off time, they could do some of their political rounds. So domestic travel, international travel, you want to look in those areas as well and see where the movements are. Actually, if you look at travel in the office of the Prime Minister's budget this year, the Prime Minister decreases his travel budget this year, in the upcoming year, from $1.2 million to $181,000. That's a substantial decrease. So the Prime Minister is saying, I'm not going to be traveling as much next year. That's what the number says. I'm not going to be traveling as much next year as I did this year outside of the country. That's what the numbers indicate. Okay? So it's travel, airfare, and its subsistence is down. So that's an area. So what are the two areas so far? Salaries and then travel. Those are discretionary. Supplies and materials, there's no real story in there. Look at services. So there is there's an item called services, right? That's 22510EE. Look under there. You're not going to be looking for printing and duplications, advertising and that kind of stuff. That's not where you're going to be looking. What you're going to be looking at is this area 2251114, consulting. Consulting services. So in any head, you're looking for consulting services, because that's where the consultants are hired. So this year, the Prime Minister's office is going to actually increase that area next year by about $500,000. And consulting services is going to increase by about $400,000. So he's going to increase consultancy expenditure in the delivery unit by $500,000 and increase the dollar. But again, in any head, Ministry of Finance, Education, National Security, that's an area of discretion for the government. That's where, if you see money movement, these are areas in terms of where the government has some discretion to say how much it wants to do. You'll see those are, that's under services. And then you see broken down by consulting services. After that, really, honestly, there's not much stories in ahead. Some entities, because they have to do subventions and that kind of stuff, you might look to them. But generally speaking, beyond those items that I just talked about, there isn't a lot of story. In any event, when you're reading the budget, it doesn't matter what the area is. If you see a large movement up or down, some people just look for up. No, you should look for large movements up or down. You should ask yourself, why such a large movement up or down? What is a large movement? Beyond 3%, that's a significant movement, right? Beyond 3% increase. Beyond 3% decrease. You're looking at a large movement. Okay? So tutorial of reading a budget head. But if I get enough people, I'll do something and we can actually do a reading of the entire budget. I'll show you how to get to it online, how to open it up and how to read it. I'm happy to do that. I really think that the more you are aware and familiar and can go do this yourself, the better off this country is going to be in terms of the society holding political leadership to account. This text says, is there a breakdown on an amount for consultants at the OPM, and how does that compare to last year's amount? Well, you just got it. I just told you. It's not a breakdown. It's only an amount. Says OPM got the largest increase. Yeah. No, Ministry of Finance got the largest increase. In terms of departments, ministries and departments, the largest increase was interest expense. This text says, hey, Shivago, I would definitely be interested in that class on analyzing. No. What I'm going to do is I'm gonna say so. If I do it, I'm going to say so on the show. I say so on the show, so I won't necessarily let just you know. This says, I'm interested. This says, yes, excellent. Budget presentations, I'm interested. Hello, Mr. Lang, I would be interested. All right. This says, I'm open to the webinar. All right, good, good. All right. Says, good day, Shivago. Great show as usual. I must confess, I was looking forward to your explaining the budget to me as I appreciate your knowledge of the same. Yes, I'm interested in the Zoom class. Thanks. Yes, it will be good for some of the MPs to sign up so they can debate the budget properly. Okay, so I'll organize that. I'll organize that for you. And I think it's going to be fun. Right? This is your document. This is your revenue of estimates and expenditure. The government is a trust. Okay? So you, your common assets, so the assets of the Commonwealth, the SAM, the sea, the finances, all that, those are transferred to the government as your trustee through an implicit, not perhaps the most explicit and detailed trust deed, a contract, social contract you have between yourself and the government, and you put those assets in the government's hand and you say, it is to be used entirely for my benefit. That's what a trust is. You can only manage these assets in a way that I benefit. You cannot benefit from it. I am going to pay you for your services, these sums of money and wages and salaries and benefits. And so that's the extent of your benefiting from it. Everything else you do with the nickel, everything else you do with the dime, everything else you do with the dollar, everything else you do with the buildings, everything else you do with the movements within the government, they are to benefit us as a collective. That's the trust deed. You are the settlor. You are the one who is to be the beneficiary of the use of the asset, having transferred it to the government as trustee. So now the government, under the trustee you have called the Constitution, has an obligation to bring you a financial plan of revenue and expenditure for each fiscal year. And so each dollar represented in every one of those heads are intended to be for your benefit. And so that's what the document is. And if you are unable to read your will, if you are unable to read your trust document, if you are unable or to have somebody read it to you to understand it, if you are unable to understand it, then there is no wonder to be not given the full credit and benefit of the document and the trust that you have set up. And so the good Lord and this country gave me the benefit, opportunity, and privilege of having so educated myself and gotten experience in this area that I am able to now share with you what I know. And I have no desire to be regarded by you as an expert with knowledge you are incapable of getting from me. You could get, listen, if you sat with me, there isn't a question related to my skill set, knowledge, and understanding that I will not give to you. You can ask me personal questions about my life because I ain't answering them if I don't want. But any question related to my experience, my understanding, oh man, I'll just share that with you. I have young people calling me, have Zoom meetings. I love it. I'm open, no problem. Because the more we understand, let me tell you something. Educated people are difficult to rule, but easier to govern. Educated people are difficult to rule, but easier to govern. We don't want to be ruled by nobody. We want to be governed. And that requires us to be educated. And by education, I don't mean bachelor's, master's, PhD, which are all helpful and important too. I'm talking about understanding how things work. And that's where that's my aim, my desire to help to do before I die and leave planet Earth. That's my desire. God has gifted me with some ability in that way. I may use it for this country, for my family, for my friends, my neighbors. You got it. I'm at your disposal. We're going to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break. I'm Shabaga Lane.
When you get back home from vacation, the last thing you want to do is stand on another line to fill out your exemption paperwork. Well, guess what? You don't. Customs just got simpled with Exempt. Now, with the click of a button, you can fill out your customs form, calculate duties, and even pay online while you're still traveling. Just show your QR code to the customs officer, let them check your bag, and you're out of there. All you have to do is download the Exempt app. It's as easy as 3, 2, 1. Exempt, making travel and customs simple. As of June 12, 2023, this app will become mandatory for all returning residents of the Bahamas. The Exempt app is now available on Google Play or Apple app.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764. Fidelity.
This is Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we've been talking about the expenditure side of the budget. All goes well. We'll talk about the deficit borrowing side of the budget tomorrow and all that implies. And now, folks, if you have any questions or comments that you want to field, please feel free to do so. You can call us on 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. All right? And any question around the budget that you might have, I'm happy to field for you. I noticed that the Prime Minister is reported saying, I will not let NIB fail. I will not let NIB fail. Now, granted that the Prime Minister and those have not yet granted NIB the rate increase that the board and the auditors and all those believe is necessary to ensure the sustainability of the fund. When the Prime Minister will not let the fund fail. I absolutely believe in 100% because I've told you all this. I told you all the government of the Bahamas is not going to let NIB's fund collapse. It's not. It is not. The government of the Bahamas, it would not be able to justify expenditures, increases in any area such as this and that and the next thing, and let the national insurance, the social security fund of the Bahamas collapse. So I believe the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance 100% that as sure as night follows day, the National Insurance Fund is going to survive. I tell you this much, though. Every delay in doing what must be done so that the fund doesn't fail will mean that when you do, in fact, get your rate increase, it's going to be higher than you would have been more comfortable with. Honestly, I don't care what the increase is. I really don't. Meaning, and by that I mean this, whatever increase happens in the rate means a benefit secured for all of the back end. So there is some, not entirely, but some correlation between the what you're going to have to do to ensure the security of the fund and a benefit to be gotten from that effort on your part. Of course, I do not expect any outrageous increase, but to be sure, the increases would be more incremental if they are made in the timely way as is recommended by these reports. But once we don't do it in that way, then we're going to have to take bigger chunks of increase when, in fact, we do it. So, again, I have no doubt, no skepticism about the Prime Minister's statement. He is not going to let the National Insurance Fund fail. Can you imagine being in office and the National Insurance Fund failed? You're the government. You're the government and the people and say, oh, the national, it is incapable now of paying out benefits. Just because Grammy doesn't get a benefit doesn't mean only Grammy's vote you can lose. Grammy of children. And Grammy's children of children. And Grammy's children of children, and Grammy's children have friends, and Grammy have friends, and siblings. And a politician could do that. No politician is going to sit around and have the fund collapse. They will. They will provide a subsidy, direct subsidy. They'll borrow money from the IDB, the IMF, the CDB. They will borrow $100, $200, $300 million and dump that in NIB before they let that fund collapse. I promise you that. What happened? That won't happen. What happened? Then what? No, sir. So you could be assured that the National Insurance Fund, I've said this to you all before, so this isn't new for me, will not fail. Will not be allowed to fail. It will, though, suffer pains, and we will be required to do more incrementally in the way of rate increases and perhaps even some more drastic adjustments to the fund than we might have had to do in time if we were following the schedule the experts have. So, Brother Minister Miles LaRota, sir, go at your head, sir. Your cries are well heard. And the fund will not fail under your tenure, sir. Will not do so. Mr. Chairman of the NIB Board, the fund will not fail under your tenure, sir. The pain that you are trying to help people not experience as much of, that may not be relieved or alleviated. But y'all will not be the ones to have to say the fund failed under my watch. That's not going to happen. Y'all know your head. Go to sleep and have a good rest. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening to you. Yeah, I'm listening to you.
I can't hear anything.
But I can hear you, though. I'm not sure what's going on there, producer. He has a phone issue, I think. This text says, hey, may let the NIB fund collapse a few months after he admits office so that it reflects on the next administration. Man, you're a conspiracy theorist. That ain't gonna happen. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. If some folks won't know any better, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. No. I'm sorry. No, not going to happen. Now, you know, let me tell you something. I'll be honest with you. I'm being dead serious and dead honest. I know no government. I know no PLP, FNM government so malicious. None. And I'm so irresponsible. None. Absolute nonsense. I do not accept. Do not accept.
Hello.
In fact.
Yes, how you doing?
Hi. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Lang, I wanted to make another point, but when you were talking about the prime minister saying that he will not allow NIB to collapse, to fail, right? I mean, in reality, what he's just trying to say is that he's going to tax the people, and he's just trying to find a way to make them accept it and make it look like not like it's not really a bad thing, but he's really doing something that's necessary. I mean, if you understand where I'm coming from. You know, he's preparing because the bottom line is that tax is going to increase as a result of trying to...
Saving NIB is not a question of increasing taxes. That has nothing to do with taxes.
So contributions won't increase?
Yeah, contribution is not a tax. A contribution to a fund that you get a direct benefit from is not a tax.
All right, sir. But in any event, it's going to be more money in the pockets of the person.
That's true. Yes, sir. That is true. But you'll also get your benefits preserved, though.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't look like it's guaranteed. I mean, because there's skepticism now.
No, it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. I'm not letting you do that on this show. So long as you pay your contributions, they are guaranteed. That's a contractual obligation.
I understand. But if I remember correctly, Mr. Lang, they had a lady on who she was talking about NIB, and she was she presented herself very well. But Mr. Lang, before I go too far, I want to say that I thank you for the knowledge that you imparted on the radio as it relates to the budget. And I was going to say that to you, and then I heard you even say that you were willing to even go even further and even have a little course to teach individuals.
Right.
I think that's a very, very, very good thing, sir. You know what I mean? Because I think that's very good because there's nothing better. There's no better than a well-educated public or knowledgeable public as it relates to the interactions and the going on of the government. But the lady upset, Mr. Lang, that the individual who was responsible or who assisted in the whole formation of the NIB system, right? That he told them that if this thing is implemented correctly, it should last X amount of years. And I think it was like 70 years or so.
Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't designed to be something from the beginning. It knew that it had a time limit on it.
Yeah, of course. Every fund is like that, actually. I mean, these funds, to the extent of their initial setup based on a given rate, the numbers, the calculations are quite predictable.
As
to what will happen if you don't do X, Y, and Z going forward.
I'm curious. So if something is designed to, if you do it well, if you do it correctly, it is designed to say last 70 years, right? Mm-hmm. How then can you make this thing last 100?
Well, no. That's not what he's saying.
I'm not saying that. He's saying that. What I'm trying to say is that how long will you? Because you say you cannot afford to allow national insurance to fail, right?
Yeah, but can I explain, please?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. No, the fund is not a biological thing, so it doesn't die.
Yes, sir.
Okay. As long as we can increase the rates in line with all the other parameters that affect the payouts,
yes, sir.
It can last for thousands of years.
Yes, sir. And that's what I'm saying too. Because if it can last that long, then why only 70 years?
Because when you initially set up something,
yes,
you have to start somewhere. You start with a base, and that base, that rate, has a lifespan. Then when you arrive at that lifespan, you then have to adjust the rate. So that's why. Because you can't say in perpetuity, okay, I'm going to set a rate at $300 when people were only making a couple of dollars, and so that'll last 300 years. It makes no sense.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I understand. I mean, I like that, but I understand, Mr. Lang. I mean, I appreciate that very much. I mean, you shed some light on that stuff. But, Mr. Lang, you were saying that the government has this discretionary spending ability or something, right? And you said travel.
Always. If the government could wake up and say, I'm going to buy Alukaya, wake up and say, I'm going to fund Junkanoo Carnival to $20 million, it has to have discretion. If it says, I can hire this one and hire that one, you have to have discretion.
Yeah, I just want to get the point, because like you said that there are certain things that they can demonstrate, like they have the ability to like, you know. So I was wondering, like,
to determine right away, to determine without having to be thinking about what happened before.
Yes, sir. And like, I mean, because like you mentioned how much money was going to the Ministry of Finance. I think you said some $30 plus million and an additional $30 plus million more, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And like the majority of that, like when you broke it down, I think you said like $27 million was for salary adjustments or something like that.
Yes.
And then $10 million or something like that was for some other type of salary type thing again.
Right.
Yes, sir. And I mean, while you were reading it, like it sounded as if it even kind of like took you back for a second. You know, and I wanted to ask.
Because then I'm wondering, is that a pay increase for civil servants, or what is that? That's a substantial sum.
And so, would it be possible, Mr. Lang, after the end, when come around again, would it be possible for us to see, like, if all this money is consumed, if all the money is spent, if they have the capacity to spend this money, and they do, right? Would it be possible for us to see how this money is? How this money was paid out?
There is nothing you will be able to see publicly that will tell you specific item for item, person for person, how that money was spent. No, I know of nothing that could do that.
All right, sir. Because during the news break, I didn't catch the full entire news, but I think I heard that the lady who was presenting the news, she said something about the breakfast program and the uniform program for the schools, right?
That item in the budget. They are described in the budget. That some of that kind of thing could be, because that's a program. Programs are typically listed in the budget when they are funded that way.
Yes, sir. I mean, because like I agree with you when you said that more money should have gone toward the summer program job thing for the children. Yes, I totally agree with you. And I feel as if, because the lady called up some figures, and I mean, like I said, I mean, I could have misunderstood, but she said something like $400,000 toward the uniform and must be $1 million toward the breakfast. And I mean, I was thinking about all the schools that we have in this country, I think that could have been a little more.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
especially considering, I didn't hear you, sir.
No, I was just saying we'd have to know like what the extent of the problem is to know
the money should be made available, even if the money that you put there is too much. The money that you put in there obviously is not enough from the beginning. Is what I'm saying.
You don't know. We don't know that. But here's what is true. So trust me on this, man. If the money ends up being $800,000 as compared to $400,000, that's an easy fix for the government. Easy fix.
Yes, sir. That's a good thing to hear, Mr. Lang.
Easy fix.
I want to hear have a hat.
It does. It's called. I read. They're called the Department of Corrections.
All right, sir. Do they show the breakdown on how the money, like how much money goes in exactly what it goes on? Because the reason why
The same way as every other head. It breaks it down the same way as every other head. Personal emoluments, rents, and all that kind of stuff. Same way.
Oh, because I always wondered, like, because sometimes I hear them announce how much thousands of dollars they spend every year to house the prisoners, each prisoner. And I think to myself, I mean, that's more than some people, the average person, make in a year.
I gotta run to break. Thank you, man. I appreciate your calling. Somebody's been holding a long while. Go ahead, call it. If the call is still there, let's better call it. Go ahead, caller. Hi, do we still have the other caller? Okay, if not, then let's take a break, our final break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shibaga Lang, your host. We'll be back. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300. 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Golang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for these remaining moments of the show. This text says, Mr. Lang, I read the NIV report that was created from the inception, and it said due to the increase of payout and persons depending on NIV that there must be an increase in what we pay. So is it reasonable for me to assume that where we are today with NIV is because of all government good intentions not wanting to put extra on the people, but now the time has come where it must be done? And I correct, and very much so. It is because governments have been unwilling, in quote, to put more burden on you. Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I can't argue with you. This says, okay, so Mr. Lang, with the that amount slated for government wages, a report on a study for the efficiency rate of the public service would be interesting. Yeah, it could be. Could be. It could be very difficult to actually objectively assess as well. Okay. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Yes, hello.
Hi, yes, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. And you?
Yeah. Good, man. Thanks.
One quick question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, you said that the government always spend more than they make or whatever, right? Is there going to be a deficit this year?
Absolutely. You mean this current year now?
I mean the upcoming budgetary year.
Yes, of the order of 130-something million.
Understand, how does that occur? That's what I'm trying to understand.
That's easy to occur, my friend, because the government has an overdraft, mm-hmm. right? And it borrows money. So what it does is, it says, I'm going to take in $1,000 and I'm going to spend $15. And then the difference of $500, I can borrow from my uncle. You do that all the time?
No, wait.
Listen, you're not going to do this to me again today. Listen to me. If you and I were talking about electrical, if we were talking about plumbing, me and you would have a debate. We're not going to have a debate about a matter that's just absolute straightforward facts. Because I don't want to confuse my listeners.
No, I am lying. I'm trying to understand. I'm not trying to confuse anybody. I'm trying to get.
But if you're trying to understand, I don't understand. First of all, if you don't understand what a deficit is, I would suggest, I really honestly, I'm not being facetious.
I
would suggest that you go and Google search it, and then you'll get a better understanding, because this is not complicated at all. Not at all. You spend more than you take in, that leaves you with a shortfall. That means you owe some people some money for a time. And in order to make that up, you go and borrow the money. That's how it happens. You keep borrowing a national debt of $13 billion.
But I am saying, if the government, said that it is projecting to take in $3.5 billion, right? And,
yes.
And its expenses is projected to be $3.2 billion, right?
That's not true, though. That's not true. First of all, you got to get the facts. That's not true. I mean, let me tell you what the government said. The government said it's going to take in. So to help yourself, you just need to get the facts. The government said in next year, it's going to take in $3.3 billion in recurrent revenue and $3.08 billion in recurrent expenditure it's going to make, but then its capital expenditure is an additional $364 million, which when you add it to the $3.85 billion is going to take it over its revenue.
That, so the capital expenditure is not a line item in the budget. No?
No, capital expenditure, like everything else, capital expenditure is included in different heads. In different heads.
Yeah, so with the different heads, they are the line items that will amount to this $3.2 billion. And then you still have an additional $300 million that the government will need for capital expenditure. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly, because the budget is broken down into the recurrent side and the capital side. So when you get to the end of the recurrent side, then you see the capital expenditure, and then they do the each head that has a capital expenditure just like they did for the recurrent.
Okay. Now I understand. Whatever it is, that you have to add the capital expenditure, that is what the...
Yes.
That is not a recurrent expense, but that is what the government is anticipating in spending.
And on the recurrent and capital side, the total expenditure is what you want to look at. Mm-hmm. That includes all the payments, interest payments, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, capital expenditure is, you know, that's not a recurrent thing.
That it doesn't matter. It's what the government has to spend on.
Right, but I'm saying that is what the government, like, say, if they're building this hospital or whatever.
Yeah, but it's all expenses. It's all expenditure. It's all expenditure. So that means that's money's going out. Recurrent is money going out. Capital is money going out. And then the revenue is what comes in to pay it. If you don't have enough revenue to pay it, then you end up paying.
I understand what a deficit is. I just couldn't understand how you could have X amount over your expenses and still have a deficit. That is what I was trying to understand.
Yeah, that's because you weren't. Yeah, that's because you weren't. You didn't get the. You didn't look at the capital side of it. Yeah. All right. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Brother Lang.
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, I have no complications here, but you know, you could always teach me something, right? Before I run my mouth.
All of us. We can always be taught something.
The foreign debt, is that included in like the local debt or national debt?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. National debt refers to all debt, foreign and domestic,
so
and all
domestic.
Guarantees. And
yes,
all
so
guarantees.
Include domestic.
Huh?
You said it would include domestic debt, right?
Yes. The
gross domestic product, the government collections, like they say, they anticipate $3.5 billion. Is that included in the GDP? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, it is. GDP.
Everything's all right. I listen to the budget. I listen to you speak, and the last texter and the last caller. So the question then becomes: I, you know, the thing is, Mr. Lang, I'm disappointed in there wasn't anything allocated for new schools given the fact that the migration crisis, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of jeering going on in the migrant kids. The government isn't doing anything. You know, the fact that they closed Mabel Walker, where you and I went, right? And then they just have Yalavella, which is a small school. And then I'm looking at the inner city and the proliferation of migrants and the farce of a statement that they're really interested in decreasing human trafficking when they are not impeding migration, which leads to human trafficking, because we know that most of the migrants don't care where they're from, because you saw Italians and all on the boat the other day. They want to reach the promised land, their promised land, America. It's really hypocritical, Mr. Lang, and I have to express myself. Bless up.
Okay, take care, my friend. All right. Okay, so somebody said to me, not so hard to objectively assess the efficiency of aspects of the public service. Example, telephones not answered nor calls returned, simple if truly desired. But that's true, but that's not all a government service, though. The person said to me, the efficiency of the public service. He didn't say the efficiency of aspects of the public service. But it is true that some elements, some aspects of it can, you can do some study of efficiency. But if you take in areas like foreign affairs, how do you assess whether a diplomatic officer is efficient or not? I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's more difficult. And the reason why I can say this is in the studies that we have done, where this notion of efficiency in the public service has come up, and productivity, these are the questions that get raised, okay? This is not your Bible as a genius, just in case that becomes a problem. It's really just a matter of these things. Efficiency in every area is not so easy to assess. That's not even debatable in other areas. But the person said public service, not aspects of it. All right. So tomorrow, if all goes well and nothing changes, we'll look at some other aspects of the same borrowing, deficit, national debt, and all these things that tend to also be of interest to folk. And we'll see what we can discover in that regard. Again, I am very keen on putting as many of you as are able and willing to do so in a position where you can look at these things yourselves and then be able to come to participate more fully in these dialogue. All right, So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure being with you today. Let's get back again tomorrow and do this. God spares life, and we will talk to you then. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Lang York. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares. Have a great evening.
To you by Bahamas Customs, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Insurance.